Great. Good morning. I am Ron Bohannon, the Development Hearing Officer this morning. I call to order the February 8th hearing of the DHO. It's approximately 9:03. This is a remote or online hearing where all participants will be on a video or audio conference. We are conducting this hearing remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we are under a public health emergency. Please keep your audio and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard to protect the bandwidth. Please note that we are recording the audio of this hearing. Since it's audio only, it'll be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks so that we have an adequate copy of the record. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. That's located at the bottom of your screen. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also ask you a question of the moderators, which are Jay Rodenbeck and Robert Webb. We will want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the hearing. I would like to introduce the development facilitated team and swear them in as a group. I'll do that individually. Jolene Wolfley, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Jay Rodenbeck, Development Services Manager, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, I do.
Robert Webb, Senior Planner, Code Enforcement, do you swear to affirm or tell the truth?
This is Robert Webb. Yes, I do.
Shahab Biazar, City Engineer, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar. I do.
David Gutierrez with the Water Authority, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Jeff Palmer, Code Enforcement, do you swear to affirm or tell the truth?
Yes, this is Jeff Palmer. I do.
Okay. Whitney Whalen, I believe you're going to pitch it for Cheryl. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I believe she's having technical difficulties. She was on her phone and then she's trying to get the computer to work properly. So I'll fill in what if she cannot speak.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Tiquan Chen, I believe you're in. I thought I saw you earlier. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
There you are. Thank you. Ernest Armijo Transportation, do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
This is Ernest Armijo. Yes, I do.
Okay. I believe that's all of staff, unless I've missed any staff members. A note for the applicants, any plats that are approved today will be electronically signed following the hearing. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck routes those documents through the DFT members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all the utility signatures. Then the applicants will receive an email copy of the signed document. If you are approved with delegation, you will need to complete the delegated items with the appropriate DFT member and then send PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck to get electronic signatures. The city engineer is the final person to sign the plat. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to any changes in the agenda that we have published today?
I have no changes this morning.
Great. Okay. So with that, I'd like to say that the agenda has been set today. We will ask any members of the public that would like to speak on a particular item to let us know when that agenda item is called. You can do that in one of two ways. You can physically raise your hand, turn on your camera and physically raise your hand, or there is a raise hand function at the bottom of the Zoom chat bar, or you can press *9 to do that. Please refrain from any comments other than at the appropriate case that is being heard. If there are any technical issues, I will end the hearing and DHO will resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number. As I begin, I'll read a statement regarding the purpose of the development hearing officer. The DHO was created in 2022 by an amendment to the Integrated Development Ordinance, the IDO. The DHO and DFT staff member design facilitated team staff members apply the standards and requirements of the IDO and the development process manual. Both of those items are available on the city's webpage. With that, I will begin with item one. Project number 2022-007589, Cartesian Surveys, Inc., agent for Rhino Holdings Boulevard, LLC, requests the aforementioned actions for all portions of parcels B, C1, C2, DE, tracks 3-E-EL-2 and 3-7-EL-1, lots 13 and 14 Tijeras Place Addition, zone MXM and MXL. A portion of parcel B located at 300 San Mateo Boulevard between Copper Avenue Northeast and Domingo Road Northeast, containing approximately 3.370 acres on Zone Atlas page K19. There are three actions in front of us, SD-2023-00023, a preliminary plat request, SD-2023-00025, vacation of public easements, and the final request, SD-2023-0027, vacation of private easements. Sketch plat was heard on 125-23 by the DFT. Property owners are Rhino Holdings Tower LLC. I believe there's another property owner that I saw in that in the application. The request is for a preliminary plat review of the major subdivision for interior lot line elimination from 9 parcels, creating 2 parcels, granting 3 public easements, a public sidewalk and public utilities, and vacating 2 existing easements. If I could have the applicant unmute and turn their camera on, I see, and introduce themselves, and I'll swear them in.
Okay. Good morning. This is Ryan Mulhall with Cartesian Surveys, Inc. I apologize. I don't have a camera, but I am serving as agent.
Ryan, good morning. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do swear.
What I'd like you to do, Ryan, and we know who you are, so that's not a big problem for me. I'd like you to do a real quick summary of the project. And I'd also like you, if you could, do a little summary of the vacation requests. If you could go through the vacation easements specifically, identify how those were created, and that and state the reasons why they're being vacated or moved, and that specifically on the private vacation, if you can go through who that was the beneficiary of that, and that they do not have any additional interest in that easement. So with that, I'll...
Certainly. So again, this is Ryan Mall, Cartesian Surveys. So we are looking to consolidate 9 lots, as you said, into 2. The 2 parcels that we're creating are separated by a zoning line. And so in order to maintain that zoning line and not have to go through the zoning process, we're creating the 2 parcels. The existing building that is straddling that line is intended to be removed, and so that's part of the plans of development. The tower building on the main parcel C1A will remain, and so that will be redeveloped for residential use, multifamily, and so that sort of covers the lot line handling. The easements were essentially both created as parts of a former roadway. I believe that was Zia Road. And so that former Zia Road was retained for utility easements when it was vacated, and then has slowly seen all the other utility companies quit claim or otherwise give up their their claim to the easement. And so we are looking to formalize the vacation of that easement at this point, because the only use by utilities in the vacated portions that we're doing, and that's that cross-hatched area, is protected by that easement 6, and that's that fiber optic line and cable lines that run through that same area. So that covers easement 10, which is part of that former Zia Road. And then similarly, the former Zia Road, about half of it was also retained for an access easement, that easement 1. And so that isn't hatched in a different way, but yeah, the label is pretty clear there. And so that access with the consolidation of the lots becomes no longer necessary for our parcels. And it does benefit the other parcels, but our client does own the stuff to the south. And so those lots aren't landlocked because they have access further south and are united by the same ownership. Eventually, our client would like to put a gate that controls access from that entry of San Mateo moving over into the lots. But yeah, at this time we're looking to vacate that easement 1 because it doesn't reach San Mateo anymore. That didn't get extended as part of the right-of-way vacation of those small parcels EL2 and EL1 that you mentioned in the description. So I believe that covers the vacation easements. As far as what we're granting, we're granting an easement 16 for the sidewalk along that San Mateo frontage in order to provide a 10-foot sidewalk without making more severe the sort of short setback distance of that existing tower. So that was our solution for that. We're also granting an easement 17. That's an extension of that easement 10 and 6. And that is in the very south part of our lot. And that's just to extend north-south a little bit and connect up to those easements. And so with that, we await comment. Thank you.
Okay, so let me ask this, Ron Bohannon, DHO. Let me ask a few more questions. So my first question is on the zoning, parcel C1A is going to be the MXM zoning. Is that correct?
This is from all Cartesian surveys.
And then parcel B1 will be the MXL.
I believe that's the case, but I don't have a way to confirm that at this time. I'm pulling up the IDO map right now.
Mr. Hearing Officer, we do have in the planning comments that parcel B1 is MXL and the parcel C1A is MXM.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wolfley. Let me ask you a few more questions and then we'll go through the normal routine. So Ryan, you looked at copper, and copper doesn't need any additional sidewalk easements as you did on San Mateo?
Yeah, this is from Holt Cartesian surveys. That's correct. San Mateo is kind of a more major arterial road, and so copper has the space for that right away, but especially with the proximity of that tower, there were concerns that we would need the wider sidewalk for the 10 feet along San Mateo.
And just one last question, and then we'll start through the staff comments. On the vacation of the private easement, remind me which one that is and whose that was granted to.
Certainly. So again, the private easement was that easement 1, and that was the access easement that had originally connected to San Mateo and was part of that former Zia roadway, and benefited our lots, all the ones that we're consolidating, as well as the lots to the south, which our client also owns. And so there's no concerns about any type of landlocking or anything with the removal of that easement. All those lots, because they're also owned by our client, will have access from the south.
Okay, so there's no adverse, Ron Bohannon, DHO, there's no adverse impacts to any other property owners by the vacation of this private easement?
This is from all Cartesian surveys. That's correct. And so it essentially prevents the use of that sort of access as a de facto road and to cut through. With the way that we're intending to create the residence, we wanted to slow that down sort of channelize the traffic more to drive aisles and things like that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. With that, we will go through staff's comments. We'll begin with the Water Authority, Mr. Gutierrez.
Excuse me, Mr. Bohannon? Yes. Typically, we do public comment at this point, if you'd like to go there first.
I will go back to the script. Thank you. Now, members of the public may indicate if they would like to speak. You can either raise your hand and or unmute. So if I could ask for any public comments at this time. I don't see anybody raising their hands.
This is Remold, Cartesian Service. I did want to note that we did get contact by a handful of residents to the east of our property, and they had expressed some concerns about additional traffic and the homeless situation along Copper. And so I just wanted to mention that kind of on their behalf, because they had contacted us with concerns but weren't going to be able to make the hearing here. We had kind of explained just that we were going to maintain fencing until we were done developing. Yeah. And then there is a number of access points for the residents, so I don't think Madeira will be as severely affected as they might have feared, just because I think the primary point of entrance for that residence will be San Mateo. I just wanted to cover that. Thank you.
Thank you. I see Mr. Diego raising their hands. Mr. Diego, do you swear and affirm to tell the truth? You're muted, or I didn't hear any. You're still muted there.
Hear me now?
Yes, I can. Could you state your name and address for the record as well? But you do use.
It's Father Leo Fisher. We're at 404 San Mateo property. The property to the due north of this property on the corner of northeast corner of San Mateo and Copper.
Okay. And do you swear to tell the truth? Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay. You can have a couple of minutes.
A quick comment as far as what we're trying to, it's been a few months back since the landowner was trying to change the zoning, and then it was pulled back from the zoning aspect of it, and now going to it as a plat. We, as in a residential area, just concerned about the high-rise housing and the negative effect that it can have on the neighborhood. We've not had anybody from the ownership reach out and talk to us about it. We are one of the direct neighbors across the street. And there's been no, there we are at 404. And so we're just trying to get more information on it. They had tried to change it, but then they withdrew it, and now they're doing this. So we're not exactly sure what's going on and what the whole process is or plan is for the whole property. Even the property that is directly south of this property, which they say that the owners have that property also. And so this will directly impact the entire area. As you know, the area is a very troubling area, and we're trying to maintain it in the best way for all the neighborhood. And I think that's important for all of us in the neighborhood. And I know a lot of the other neighbors in the neighborhood association are concerned about this.
Okay. Mr. Diego, so I'd like to explain a little bit to you. This is the development hearing officer, so we are not going to review the use or the actual site development plan. All we're going to be dealing with today is the platting actions and the vacations of various easements that have been advertised. So I would strongly recommend that the applicant, Mr. Mulhan, get in touch with you to review and give you a status update onto the overall site development plan. The planning department will probably, and if they haven't already, go through and talk about some of the site plan issues as it relates to the platting issue that's in front of us today. But what you, by appearing here today, you've put the applicant on notice that you would like to discuss it with them. And so with that, we appreciate you attending this meeting today.
Can I have one follow-up question?
Absolutely.
Just the use, I noticed the plat did not include that southeast corner of Copper and San Mateo. If they made contact with that owner, it's kind of a tabbed out parcel there. Just if the ownership can address that, because that's directly across our street. Yeah, parcel A.
Yeah, this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Ryan, would you, if you know anything, would you care to respond?
Yeah, this is Ramal, Cartesian Surveys. And so, yeah, you should receive forthcoming, comments and explanations as far as the site plan and development side of things is concerned. We really just handle the survey and lot line management and easement management at this point. And so you should expect contact in the future. As far as that parcel A that you were asking about for San Mateo and Copper, I'm not familiar with what's going on with that corner at all. I haven't really been tied in on any future plans or any management of that, unfortunately. I do know that the tower will remain, and so that existing tower will be renovated and repurposed for residences. And so I don't expect there'll be any other additional major buildings like that. And so there won't be any drastic changes to the neighborhood from development in that aspect. The tower's not getting replicated or anything like that. That tower's just getting redeveloped. So that's about all I know as far as the development is concerned. That parcel B1 will be developed as kind of a playground area and community gardens for the exclusive use of those residences, as well as some parking. And so I believe we provided the site plan in our application, and that's that. And so it's a little it's rotated counterclockwise, so it's kind of thrown you off. North would be to the left there, but I'm afraid that's all I know, and I'm sorry I can't provide more information about that lot you're asking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mulhan. Mr. Diego, you can, they will reach out to you to try to get that done. Is there any other members of the public that would like to make a comment on agenda item number one? You can either raise your hand in the Zoom chat or turn your camera on and raise your hand physically. I don't see anybody. So with that, we will go to the Water Authority. Mr. Gutierrez.
Hi, yeah, this is David Gutierrez with the Water Authority. So for the plat, we have no comments or objection. For the vacation of public easement, we have no comments or objection. And for the vacation of private easement, we have no comments or objection. That's everything from the Water Authority. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Code enforcement?
Thank you. This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. All prior sketch plat comments have been noted and or addressed with this submittal. Code Enforcement has no further comments and no objections.
Okay. Parks and Recreation, Whitney, I think I saw you. Are you able to join us, or Cheryl?
I am.
You...
I probably need to be sworn in.
Yes. Do you swear and affirm that you will be telling the truth?
I do.
Okay. Would you care to go through your comments, please?
Sure. This is Whitney Phelan with Parks and Recreation, and we had commented that the trees, the existing trees in the landscaping are not in great shape. They probably can't go another year without irrigation. And the original plan had shown that the existing trees would be maintained, but there was a new landscape plan submitted this morning. And so I just wanted to clarify if this is new plantings or if it'll be retaining the existing. So that's my first point. And then the second would be that if they are going to be existing, then it's very highly recommended to meet with the city forester who can assess the condition of the trees and recommend replacement if needed.
Okay, Mr. Mulholland, you want to address those?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Whelan. This is Ramal with Cartesian Survey. So I apologize, I didn't know that you would be covering the hearing. I did send that landscape plan, so I don't know if Ms. Sommerfeld did provide that to you. But yeah, I'm not familiar with what's being retained and what would be new trees. I haven't really had a chance to review this landscaping plan myself. It came in yesterday, and so I apologize. I don't know what will be retained, but I will reiterate again to the client that they're encouraged to reach out to the city forester and try to maintain what we can along that, especially that San Mateo frontage. Thank you.
Ron Bohannon, Development Hearing Officer. Whitney, is it a fair statement that the comments that you made were informational and that there's really nothing that you need to be a condition or requirements for the actions in front of us today?
Correct.
Okay. Anything?
Mr. Hearing Officer?
Yes.
This is Ms. Wolfley. I just wanted to point out one idea. Occasionally when we have an item like this, there could be a finding with the plat, with if Parks and Rec wanted that, but just a possibility for you to consider.
Yeah, and that's and I think that would be very appropriate because we see these a lot on a lot of these platting actions. Whitney, if you can work with Cheryl, and if you want a finding, you could put that in the chat function so that at the end of this case, I'll be able to pick that up.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on to hydrology, Tiquan.
Tiquan Chen, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual gradient drainage plan dated 7/27/2022. Hydrology has no objection to the vacations, no objection to the planting action, and no objection to the infrastructure list.
Okay. Mr. Mulholland, commonly what happens with planting actions and hydrology is at the end of the development, a drainage covenant is required as part of the overall final certificate of occupancy. I don't know if you want to, and a lot of times that is created by separate document and recorded. I don't know if you have that detail now or if you want to include that in your plat to save that step at the end of the day or not.
This is from all Cartesian Surveys. So yeah, I'm not familiar with how the client wants to handle any type of drainage covenants or things like that. We do have a cross lot access easement and parking easement, but I don't think we have that as a way to manage the drainage as well. And so I expect that there'll be covenants down the road or else the engineer that we had been working with, Jeff Wooten, probably would ask for us to add that, or we would have got it from, I guess, comments at sketch. But yeah, we don't have that at this time on the plat.
Okay, and so Ron Bohannon, Development Hearing Officer, so you do not need a common drainage cross lot easement between parcels B1 and C1A?
This is from all Cartesian Surveys. It's a bit outside my area of expertise. I don't know if that's the case based off the grading and drainage plan. I know the majority of that lot line will be kind of common parking area, and so I expect that surface waters would just kind of flow naturally there, besides the sort of community garden and pathway area. But I can't really speak to that beyond that. Sorry.
This is Ron Bohannon, hearing officer again. And I don't see any common drainage cross lot easement between those two tracks on your plat either.
That's correct. I'm not aware of any intent for an easement in that way. So I assume that would get handled by covenants or something down the line. But again, like I said, it's outside of my area of expertise as to what is needed. Thank you.
Okay. Tequan, do you see any issues with that that you can think of? You've already got an approved graded drainage plan, so I don't think if it came up, I would have imagined it would have come up in your review.
Tequan Chen, hydrologist. Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, this is a conceptual approval. Normally, before building permit, will require a grading drainage plan. So during that time, everything will be in place, including the drainage covenant.
Okay. Mr. Chen, would you do me a favor, do a finding that that the final drainage criteria, a final drainage report will be required prior to building permit? So I'd like to put that in the findings.
Yiquan Chen, hydrologist, yes, I will.
Okay. Thank you, Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. We'll go to transportation. Ernest
Armijo, transportation. All comments have been addressed. We have no objections to the plat or any of the vacations. Please note, for future development, an approved TCL will be required prior to site plan. Please prepare and submit a traffic scoping form to determine if a traffic impact study will be required.
Okay. Mr. Armijo, if you could elaborate, Ron Bohannon, hearing officer, if you could elaborate on the scoping form for the general public, briefly go through the process so that the general public knows that traffic will be reviewed by your department through the development redevelopment of this site.
Ernest Armijo, transportation. Typically on sites that have the potential for large changes in traffic, we ask the applicant to prepare fill out a pre-designed form called a traffic scoping form. And with this form, we determine whether or not there are enough trips being generated by the development to necessitate a full traffic impact study. Typically that threshold is 100 trips in or out of the project during the peak hours.
Thank you, Mr. Armijo. This is Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. The other thing that that probably would come up most is this has been an office building. It's being repurposed. So could you tell the general public how you would treat a development similar to this so that they could get that understanding as well?
Ernest Armijo, transportation. So in determining whether or not it needs a trip generation study, commercial businesses like an office building, if it is occupied, and office buildings typically, it depends on the business. Some can generate quite a bit of traffic, some may not. Residences typically do not generate a high amount of traffic. I mean, it can sound counterintuitive to a lot of people, but residences typically generate less than one trip per housing unit. But we look at all of those things in conjunction with any other development on the site to determine whether or not the site, the full site itself, will generate enough traffic to warrant a study.
Thank you, Mr. Armijo. Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. And just to kind of recap is that the transportation department will look and see and evaluate whether a full traffic impact study will be required. If it meets those thresholds, then there's a whole process that they will do that they will require the developer in the redevelopment of the project to conduct and perform. Any mitigation measures that are a result of that study would be required to be put in place just for the general public's information. With that, I'll go to planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. The first comment I want to hit on is the ownership question. So I'm going to I'll go here shortly to our GIS map, but the plat was signed by a chief executive officer with Rhino Holdings Tower 10 LLC and 17 LLC, the same executive officer, Sanjeev Chopra. But according to GIS, there's and I'll show you here, there's a second owner on this site. Let me go to our comments pulled up here. I don't know if you see the GIS map?
I do.
Okay, so this lot here, this parcel, is shown as being owned by GGD Oakdale LLC. And I checked this in the county property records directly as well. It shows up as owned by GGD Oakdale LLC as well. Mr. Mulhall, can you confirm the ownership situation on this lot? Because they're not on the plat.
Yeah, that's from all the Cartesian surveys. Yeah, they are not on the plat. I think based off of the legal descriptions we were getting from the other deeds, that I had thought that the Rhino Holdings owners were the only ones involved, but it looks like that description might overlap with GGD. Based off the Henderson, Nevada owner address, I anticipate these being the same sort of management group, I guess, that would hold this, and it's just a different LLC member. And so we'll need to look into that. I don't know how that got missed.
Mr. Mulhern, this is Ron Bohannon. So it creates a procedural issue, is two issues that I see, and Ms. Wolfley can weigh in if she wants. But the first issue that I see is if it's under separate ownership, then you're going to need an agent authorization from that owner. And then from an advertisement standpoint, it wasn't advertised correctly. So those are kind of two issues that are pretty important here. You know, I think other than that, everything else is very, very straightforward.
Okay, this is from all the Cartesian survey. Sorry to cut you off, sir, but I just pulled up the county records for deeds and such, and it looks like there was a special warranty deed transferring ownership from GDD to Rhino Holdings Tower 10 back in 2021. And so I anticipate that the GIS records are just old.
This is Rob O'Hannon. Mr. Mulhern, yeah, they're usually about 18 months behind, which would sound pretty good. So with that, what I'll do is if you can provide as a finding, actually as a condition, if you can provide a copy of that deed transferring that ownership to the applicant, then that will make our records complete. Unless Ms. Wolfley, you have some other suggestion.
I think that finding is a good idea. This is Jolene Wolfley. And if Mr. Mulhall could show what he's looking at on the screen, because generally, one of the basic elements of an application is ownership concurrence. And so if he can show that on the screen and then follow up with the warranty deed transfer, I think that would be good. So does Mr. Mulhall have share screen privileges?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, he does.
Okay, this is from all Cartesian surveys. I'll give it a go. So I pull up the Eagle Web map there. And then I just emailed Mr. Rodenbeck the deed in question. I haven't looked at it to confirm, but let me share now. And there we go. So pulling up. I don't know if you can. Oh, I need to click share. Sorry. Okay, so I'm sharing the screen. So this is showing the transfer of GDD Oakdale's property, these parcels C1, C2, and so on. All these portions that went to Rhino Holdings Tower 10. The document number is from 2021, recording date's 2021. And so I think the GIS just lagged behind that. So that's what I'm seeing.
This is Rob O'Hannon, hearing officer. Jay, you were saying it was lot two, correct? Is that what you were saying? A parcel C2?
C2, yeah. This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, I believe so. And I'm pointing out here too, Mr. Mulhall did email me the deed. I'm screen sharing that now, which is a transfer over to Rhino Holdings here from GGD. Trying to confirm the parcel lot number. Okay, here we go.
Okay, I'm gonna
C1 here, right? I just point out here, here's C2.
Right.
Noted.
So this is Rob O'Hannon, hearing officer. Ms. Wolfley, what I'm gonna do is make this a condition that it just gets verified. That way we can still proceed. But then if it's not, if there's some reason that something's wrong, then they haven't met that condition and then they can come back to the DHO for us to reconsider.
I think that's a good path forward. Yes.
Re-advertise. Okay. Jay, you want to continue on any other comments that you had?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. This is Jay Rodenbeck. So we went over the zone map. We went over the question about the zone map or the zoning delineation. I can confirm that a zone map amendment will not be necessary with this replat. The zone boundaries are clearly delineated between lot lines. An infrastructure list is included with this preliminary plat. Well, I'm not showing it here. Here we go. There we go. So just for the record, I'm showing that. Should this preliminary plat be approved by the DHO, the applicant will need to work with their DRC office on a financial guarantee and an infrastructure improvements agreement and submit that infrastructure improvements agreement with the final plat submittal before the final plat submittal can be accepted. Let's see here. So we mentioned the accessory building, the straddled to the lot lines. That's been confirmed that it's going to be removed. Mr. Mulhall, has that building been removed yet, or when, do you know anything about when it's going to be removed? Because, I don't know how we could have that building physically there and record plat with that lot line sitting right on top of that building. Can you confirm that, Mr. Mulhall?
It's from Mulhall Cartesian. Unfortunately, I cannot. I'm not certain if that building has been removed yet or not. I just was told that it would be. I know. I'll have to reach out to the clients. I apologize.
This is Jay Ronda. Maybe that's something that can be delayed until final plat, because this is a major preliminary plat. You know, it's got to go to final plat before it can be recorded. So, you know, between now and then, perhaps that's something that we can work with and have done between now and then. But I defer to the DHO, and I defer to Ms. Wolfley as well on that question, and Mr. Beazar, the city engineer. Let's see here. Let's go to parking.
Jay, time out. This is Rob O'Hannon, hearing officer. Can you, for the general public and actually my benefit, go to which building that you're referring to so the general public can follow along?
Yes, sir. One second here. Let me go back to the GIS map. It's this building right here. This is Jay Rodenbeck. It's this building right here. Currently, the way the lot is platted, it actually doesn't straddle the lot lines. That line there is a zoning boundary. It's not a lot boundary. This is the highlighted area is the lot boundary. But when this is replatted, this will be the lot line. So it will sit on top of this accessory building. And you know, that's what we're, Mr. Mulhall was referring to, which will be removed. But my question was, with it still, if it's still there, we don't know when it's going to be removed. Does that affect the approval of this preliminary plat? Should it be ready to be approved with no other issues keeping it from approval? Or is that something that we could deal with at final plat? Because obviously the applicant's going to have to work with our DRC office on an IIA and financial guarantee. That'll take a little bit of time. So perhaps, you know, between now and then, that building will be slated to be removed, but.
This is Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. Let me ask two questions. Jeff, could you weigh in? Because I know zoning does not allow, especially when we're creating a new lot line, to have a building that would straddle those two lot lines.
Yes, thank you. This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. That is true. And I was aware that planning had that in their comments. Also in the comments that were provided in the submittal, it was indicated that the building would be removed. And thereby, if the building is removed, that is not a problem. But if it is, it probably would be wise for us to have a finding or a condition that the building will be removed if it's not going to be removed prior to the approval of this, just so that we have some sort of assurance that that will be done. As part of this arrangement.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Palmer, Ron Bohannon. Mr. Biazar, can you weigh in as well? I'm leaning towards making this a condition of final plat.
Yeah, that definitely. This is Shahab Biazar, Mr. Hearing Officer. Yeah, that could be done as a condition of final plat. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Mulhern, do you have an issue with us making that a condition of final plat, or do you need to check with your client?
It's from Old Cartesian Surveys. I don't anticipate that being a problem based off of the IIA times and the intent based off of the site plan, the proposed site plan that we attached with our application that shows that intention to be removed. I did want to say thank you to Mr. Diego for confirming that the building is still there. But yeah, I don't anticipate that being a problem, but I don't know. I know that their timeline is a concern and that they wanted to move forward quickly. And so I think it makes the most sense to tie that as a condition of final plat approval.
Okay. Thank you, Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. Jay, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you. You can finish.
That's all right, Mr. Hearing Officer. It's Jay Rudbeck. So proceeding on with our comments here. And I need to, let me go back to the plat, lest I forget here what I'm sharing with everyone here. Sorry. So, all right. So we had a question about parking and making sure that the parking requirements of 5.5 of the IDO, of section 5.5 of the IDO are being met. Obviously you're gonna have more parking, and I'll go to the landscape plan here. It gives you a little bit of a depiction of the parking on the site. We do have a number of parking spaces. And then just to the south here, let me flip this around because I think this is turned sideways. Okay, so south of the, here, I'm just going to kind of hover around the northern part of the site. I'm putting a circle around it. That's the portion of the site that's a part of the plat action. Immediately to the south, it's also this property here that I'm kind of waving my mouse on is also owned by Rhino Holdings, both Rhino Holdings 10 and 17, who both signed the plat, Sanjeev Chopra. Sanjeev Chopra, the executive officer, signed the plat. So our question is, Mr. Mulhall, are you aware of any shared parking agreements? It's owned by the same entity as the platting action. However, they are separate platted lots. So we had a question about if there were any shared parking agreements for the folks that are going to be parking and living in the apartments to be able to utilize any of this parking to the south.
This is Rem Holt, Cartesian Surveys. I believe the intent is to eventually gate off the north and south parts so that they're kind of standalone. And so I know there was parking calculations provided in that site plan that I think show that the easement 18 that we're granting is a cross lot parking and access easement for B1 and C1A. And so there'll be cross lot parking for those, obviously, but I believe the intent is to not have cross lot sharing to the south, and that that will be eventually developed independently and separated by gating. That's my understanding from some conversations with the client. Thank you.
This is Jay Rudbeck. Thank you very much for that explanation, Mr. Mulhall. So just for future reference, obviously, when this gets converted, when the existing office building gets converted to multifamily, sufficient parking will be necessary for those occupants. All right, proceeding on here. I'll just note that the applicant submitted details stating how the proposed replat does not increase any existing nonconformity or create a new nonconformity. And then we have in our planning comments some comments, just some basically FYI comments about sidewalk, minimum sidewalk width requirements, landscape buffer zone width requirements along San Mateo, Copper Avenue, and Madeira Drive, and some future development FYI comments as well for the future development, site development on the site. I see Mr. Palmer's hand is raised. Mr. Palmer, do you want to jump in here?
This is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. I apologize for interrupting you, Mr. Rodenbeck. I just wanted to you can finish your remarks. I just wanted to revisit the possible condition regarding the existing accessory building before we go to determination on this. I just have a comment related to that.
Mr. Rombo, hearing officer, Jeff, I'll call on you before we take any action.
Thank you.
All right. Continue. Thank you very much. And I'm just almost done here. I'm just going to note that regarding the sidewalks, I'm going to the infrastructure list here. They know they have infrastructure for improvements along Madeira, and I'm probably not pronouncing that right, Copper Avenue, and they're proposing a 10-foot wide sidewalk along San Mateo as well. Mr. Mulhall, can you confirm the improvement, the sidewalk improvements along the other sidewalks in addition to San Mateo?
Sure, I can take a stab at it. So this is from all Cartesian surveys. As far as the Madeira curbing and sidewalk adjustments, that's mainly to shift that drive entrance a little further south than where it currently is. And so that's better shown in the site plan, that there's sort of an existing curb cut and everything to the north of where the intended entry will eventually be, that's kind of in line with, I think that's Ortiz. And so I think they're just looking to channel access and entry to the residents and parking and everything kind of along that Ortiz alignment, instead of having it be offset and kind of coming in from Madeira, kind of an odd location a little further north, kind of where those uncircled trees are. So that's my understanding for that. As for the sidewalk, obviously we're granting the easement for the 10 feet. And then I believe the minimum requirement is 5 feet along Madeira, which I believe exists. I know we have a label on Copper Avenue on the site sketch for 5.5 feet of sidewalk width along that frontage of Copper. And I'm looking to confirm on Madeira what that sidewalk width is. I don't know if I have that labeled. And so
I got your site sketch pulled up here, right? If you need that reference.
Yeah, I have it up as well. I'm not seeing a label on Madeira, but I recall it being around 5 feet. I can pull up our drawing, but that'll take a little bit of time. And so I expect that the infrastructure list was mainly for that curb cleanup and kind of anything with that entryway getting cleaned up more than to handle sidewalk along Madeira. I think the only place we needed to widen and better accommodate was along San Mateo.
All right, thank you very much. This is
Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. Mr. Mulholland, looking on Google Earth, it looks pretty standard 4-foot sidewalk on Madeira. So you might, I'm going to probably have that as a finding that you can confirm that it's either 4 feet or 5 feet.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, and this is Jay Rodenbeck. Final comment from planning is just regarding the easement vacations, and we have no objection to the vacations. Staff felt that the vacations were justified per 6.6 and 3 of the IDO. And that concludes our comments. Thank you very much.
Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. Mr. Palmer, would you care to give us your last comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a thought that perhaps rather than necessitate a condition that the building is demolished prior to the approval, would it be possible to have a note put on the final plat that indicates that that building is to be demolished, because it could take a little while to, you know, go through the permitting process for the demolition. So I don't know if that would be a more expedient or timely fashion to resolve it acceptably.
Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. So it's a complete destruction. So they're going to have an asbestos survey done, and then a permit with your office for that demo portion. It shouldn't take that long to do that, but I mean, I'd really hate to have a plat created that had a building that bisected the lot line, that especially since we're creating it. So I hear what you're saying. Let Mr. Biazar weigh in.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Shahab Biazar. So yeah, typically we do want those buildings removed prior to final plotting action. So I would say that we should probably proceed that it was decided to have that as finding.
Actually a condition.
Condition, sorry, yes.
Yeah, I think, Jeff, thank you, but I think I'm gonna keep that condition. If there's no asbestos in there, it'll literally take them a couple hours to tear that building down, get rid of it. So,
Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement, thank you for your clarification on that and consideration of that matter.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jay Rodenbeck. I just want to point out this application is a preliminary plat with easement vacations. There's nothing signed by the DFT staff at this stage. The final plat is what gets signed. So typically the way we've handled these major actions in the past is they've just been a finding. A finding is essentially a condition, but that's what we usually call them just because there's nothing signed. But I defer to Ms. Wolfley, Mr. Biazar as well on that.
This Ron Bohannon, hearing officer. So I'm going to employ the same protocol that the Environmental Planning Commission uses. So findings are basically informational. They're the reasons for decisions that are made. Conditions are truly conditions that before the final plat is recorded, that condition needs to be completed.
Okay.
Unless staff has some overriding reason to deviate from that protocol that's been established by EPC.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jolene Wolfley. I think what we're trying to say is that we haven't ever had conditions on preliminary plats because we don't sign them, because we know we're going to be getting a final plat that needs to match that. So what you could telegraph in the preliminary plat is that a removal of the building is should occur prior to the final plat submission.
Ron Bohannon, hearing officers, that's exactly how my condition would read, is that basically prior to final plat, a condition of final plat would be the removal of the existing building straddling lot lines, the proposed lot lines B1 and C1A. So it's not going to be affecting today's approval. Today's going to get approved, but these will be the conditions on the final plat.
Okay. So just, it's kind of a technicality, but for the final plat to be approved, all the conditions need to be met, but this condition can't be met until it's final plat time. So that's why I think we're recommending finding that telegraphs a condition for the final plat.
Okay.
But at this point, it's actually not a condition because you can't approve the final plat this way. So, okay.
You think about that. It's Ron Bohannon. Let me think about that a little bit. Okay. Jay and actually DFT staff, is there any additional comments on this case?
Mr. Chair Rumick, I don't have any additional comments.
Thank you, Jay.
This is from Mahal with Cartesian Surveys. I just want to confirm, I did open up the drawing and confirm that that is 5.5 foot sidewalk along Madeira.
Okay.
Just while we are still discussing things. And then, so I guess, so I understand the condition of the building demo, that would be a condition of final plat signature, not final plat submission by our office. Is that correct?
Ms. Rumble-Hannon, that's correct. I think that's what staff has been trying to guide me in that direction. Is that?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Would be conditioned that the final plat would not be allowed to proceed without that building being demolished. That makes sense. Okay. Let me see. I think I've got all the in the chat all the findings that they have. So I think I'm ready. So I'm ready to move approval of PR 2022-007589, specifically applications SD 2023-00. 3023, SD 2023 3025, and SD 2023 3027, with one condition that the deed showing lot C2 be transmitted to the city staff, which I believe that's already been done, and as well as several findings. Finding number one, that a IIA be completed and recorded, a finding that that the existing trees will be retained on site, and that the applicant will work with Parks and Recreation to work out the details of those trees. One other finding is that if the parking is not met, that a cross parking agreement and or the parking requirements will be met on site, or a cross parking agreement will be in place prior to the final plat. Staff, am I missing other findings? I think, one other finding I'd like to make on the vacations, that on the vacation of the public easement, the vacation of private easement, that there's no public interest in retaining those public easements or those private easements, and that the vacation of the private easement does not have any adverse impact on any adjacent property or the holder of that property right. Staff, is there any other findings that we missed? That
I missed? This is Jay Rodenberg.
Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to note regarding the clarification of the transfer of ownership of parcel C2 to Rhino Holdings, that it just needs to be done. That needs to be done prior to acceptance of the final plat itself and placement on a DHO agenda.
Okay, I'll accept that as an amendment to the finding, Ms. Wolfley.
Did you see the one I just put in the chat for everyone regarding the demolition of the one-story building?
Thank you. And I'll do another finding as articulated by planning, that evidence of the demolition of the existing one-story building straddling lots B1 and C1A be provided to staff. Okay, with that.
Could you tie that to the final plat and just make it clear when that's expected?
Yes, so that'll be applied prior to the final plat recording.
This is Jay Rudenbeck, sorry, Mr. Hearing Officer. The way we catch those as thresholds is prior to final sign-off. Like once it gets signed off, I mean, we don't have a way to, as staff, to check the, if the condition was met. So it's, you know, we usually tie a requirement like that prior to final sign-off of the final plat by code enforcement or planning.
I see. Okay, so let me amend that finding that the final plat submission should include evidence of the demolition of the one-story building straddling the lot line by code enforcement. Okay, so if those findings are good, I move approval of those three items. And if there's any other questions, if not, we can move on to case two.
This is from Mahold Cartesian Surveys. Before you guys vote on this, I was a little confused about the vacation of easement finding. It was my understanding that those were being decided on today, and it was kind of independent of the preliminary final plat sort of chain. So I'm just confused how I guess that would be handled.
So this is Ron Bohannon. Mr. Mulholland, there's no vote. It is, I'm moving to approve it. And so the vacations are approved today. What I did in the findings was to make a finding that there was no benefit in retaining those easements or adverse impact to the private easement by vacating that.
Okay, thank you for explaining, sir.
No worries. Good. We're learning as we go. Hopefully in a couple months we'll all have this down. So, okay. So with that, I have moved approval of item number one, the three actions on it. Mr. Mulholland, if there's anything else, we'll move on to item number two.